Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Invisible by Saraya Sky, narrated by Holly Jackson and Ryan Turner. Prologue. I was about to throw up on every person in this room. The Niagara Falls of vomit was about to happen, and there was little I could do to change it. Avi, are you okay? My best friend Summer touched my shoulder lightly from her seat behind me. I weakly turned to look at her, my whole body shaking. Her brown eyes widened, and she knew I was not okay. "Maybe you should go to the nurse?" she suggested. I shook my head. I doubt Mr. Drysdale would let me. I've been there every day this week. Summer scoffed. "Screw that, you're sick." I rolled my eyes briefly, wiping perspiration off my forehead with the back of my hand. "I'm not sick. I'm anxious." "Anxiety is a sickness. You need to go get your medicine," Summer urged me. The two of us sat in the back of the classroom, but even from this distance, Mr. Drysdale could hear a fly fart from across the classroom. I swear he was a damn vampire with that sensitive hearing of his. Hell, he was old enough to be one. Regardless, he was an ass and not the donkey variety. I hated him. I put a finger to my lips and shushed her. "You know he doesn't think anxiety disorder is a real illness." I frowned, taking a brief look at him. Mr. Drysdale was about 400 years old, with murky hazel eyes and a long white Santa beard, though he was nothing like Santa. Mr. Drysdale was a horrible, rotten man, and I'm pretty sure that he sacrificed children to demons in his backyard. You know, for funsies. His favorite thing, even though he was a social studies teacher, not a speech teacher, was making everyone give presentations every semester. I'd gotten lucky and hadn't had him last semester, but this time, my luck ran out. I hated presentations. Being the center of attention in a large room, all eyes on me, was enough to make me throw up, pass out, hyperventilate, or all of the above. Classic symptoms of generalized anxiety disorder, of which I suffered, but Mr. Drysdale didn't care. No matter how my mother argued with him, he wouldn't budge. He'd say, "Give the presentation or flunk the class." I wished I was a witch so I could put a nasty curse on him. Maybe give him a raging case of hemorrhoids. Oh, and leprosy. That too. All his limbs could fall off. Except for the hemorrhoid, of course. It was a lot of pressure to put on a seventh grader with anxiety problems. He claimed that if we couldn't handle public speaking now, we'd never make it in the real world. And the presentations were at least half of our semester's grade. So either learn to be good or flunk. Flunking was sounding better and better right now. To make things worse, he videotaped each presenter and pointed out your flaws later. If you were really good or really bad, he would show your video to his honors class, a group of really snotty, self-absorbed know-it-alls that loved to feel superior. In every walk of life except social studies class, they were the nerds, the bullied. In Drysdale's honors class, they were the bullies. I was pretty sure that Mr. Drysdale had been the victim of one too many wedgies in his life, and he was determined to pay it forward to anyone he could. Even though I wasn't popular, I didn't have a lot of friends. I kept to myself. Summer was pretty much all I had. Oh, and my dog. Otherwise, I was pretty much ignored. Which suited me fine because of this anxiety thing.
"Next presenter,"
Mr. Drysdale's raspy voice called as he stood in front of the classroom reading from a clipboard. He searched the room and his eyes landed on Summer and me. She had already gone, so clearly I was next. I swallowed a huge lump of panic that had gathered in my throat. My heart nearly stopped. The bile burned and churned in my stomach. My skin was clammy and cold, though my insides were on absolute fire. I was about to lose it. I would give anything if only he couldn't see me. I squinted my eyes shut and clutched the cold steel bars underneath the single-person desk that I sat on. "It's okay, Avi. It's okay." Summer tried to soothe me, rubbing the back of my neck with her fingers. "You'll be fine." I dared to open an eye. Mr. Drysdale's gaze was fixed right on me. The vomit started raising. I had to clamp my hand over my mouth to prevent completely losing my lunch. Yep, Mount Barfesuvius was about to erupt. His rheumatic eyes searched me. He opened his mouth. He was about to call my name. Please go away. I wish I could be invisible. Please let me be invisible. Mr. Drysdale shut his mouth. He glanced at me, confused, scratching his head. He set the clipboard down at the podium that he stood behind and brushed off the front of his ugly old man white and blue checked shirt. I dry heaved. My immediate vision started to go black before me and I became woozy. I clenched my eyelids closed and prayed for a miracle. Avi? My head began to roll. Summer clutched my shoulders.
Jason Collins, you're up next.
My eyes flew open and I inhaled deeply. The influx of air helped to relax my body. The bile started to rest and my vision returned to normal. Sorta. Even though he looked right at me, I had been sure I was next. But he never called me. Not that day, not the rest of the year. He never called on me ever again. It was like I wasn't there. For roll call, he'd read my name off, but never really set eyes on me as he marked me present. Somehow, I got a grade on my work, but there were no comments on my report card about my lack of presentation. In fact, it was never really acknowledged at all. And I couldn't be more relieved. Or confused. But for now, I wasn't going to push my luck. Eventually, it'd catch up with me. For now, I was just glad to be ignored. Surely it couldn't last forever, right? Chapter 1. So, what do you do for a living? I looked across the table at my dining companion. The dishwater blonde-haired man had a fork in one hand and his phone in the other. His thumb swept across the screen rapidly, his eyes darting back and forth as he stared. I blinked once and sighed heavily. Great. Another one. Clearly, he didn't hear a word I said. I don't know really why I was surprised. It always happened. Girl rarely goes on dates. When girl does, girl gets ignored by guy who is more interested in his phone. Or the sports game on the big screen across the room. Or ogling the waitresses. Anything but the girl. Glancing at my silver wristwatch, I could see that we'd only been here 45 minutes. Long enough to order drinks and receive our meals. He'd been on his phone for 40 of that. I swallowed a large swig of my iced tea and slammed the glass down on the table, just hard enough to make a noise, hoping it would bring him out of his phone-induced stupor. The silverware on the table rattled, the plates full of food shook, but the man didn't appear rattled. His name was James, but right now he was just the man, because like all the others, he was being completely rude by ignoring me. Wow, that's interesting, I said loudly. Sure beats my job at the morgue. Seeing frozen penises all day long really gets quite hard. I stifled a chuckle at my own lame joke. I didn't really work at a morgue. That would be disgusting. But surely either the word morgue or penis would get his attention finally. It didn't. His eyes remained glued to the screen, although now his fork had dropped and he was typing messages with both thumbs into the phone. I scowled. Yep, it gets really interesting doing what I do, dealing with the genital warts I have. It's the worst, but I have a cream that eases the chafing. Looks like hell, but you don't mind red, itchy clitorises, do you? Surely clitoris had to get his attention. Nope. Time to pull out the big guns. I looked down and unfastened two buttons on my black cardigan sweater. Adjusting my boobs so they nearly spilled out, I leaned over the table, coughing pointedly. My date glanced up from his phone momentarily. His eyes grazed me briefly. I'm sorry, Eve, were you saying something? Before I could respond, his phone buzzed and he was back to typing away. I sat up straight. It's Ava, jerk. Seriously, I get it if you are not interested in me, but I at least deserve enough respect to have you set your fucking phone down.
You're absolutely right, Evie, he said, bobbing his head in agreement,
still texting away on his phone. I rolled my eyes, grabbing my purse next to me.
You're a dickhole. I stood up, shoved the chair into the table forcefully, and stomped through the restaurant, leaving the rest of my drink and uneaten meal behind. Also, the bill. James didn't even glance up as I stormed off to my car in the parking lot. Summer is going to get it, I thought angrily to myself as I drove home. She promised me this guy would be different, that she swore that her friend's brother was a nice, upstanding guy. Huh. And maybe he was, but I had the worst luck with men. Ever. I was just completely invisible to them. James wasn't the first man this had happened with. Literally, since I was old enough to realize I liked boys and had crushes, I've always been ignored. Looked over for the prettier girl. The popular girl. The easy girl. Somewhere along the line, you think boys would have grown up, but clearly they haven't. Now, though, they couldn't know I wasn't the popular girl or the promiscuous girl right off the bat, or the girl they wanted. Just maybe I was. Hell, I very well could be the slutty girl if given a chance. But this was at least the third date I'd gone on all summer where the guy couldn't get off his phone. And it was only the second week of July. Summer just started. Fuck me, I thought, rolling my eyes at my reflection in the rearview mirror of my silver Toyota as I paused at a stoplight. Crowds of young people lined up along the buildings of Hennepin Avenue, waiting to get into clubs, to drink and grind against each other for a good time. I frowned, trying not to be resentful. Summer and I still had a good time. I just rarely went home with anyone afterwards. Though she always did. Not of the male variety, though, if you catch my drift. A car horn honked behind me. Apparently the light had been green for a few moments now. I waved a sorry in my rearview mirror and sped off towards the freeway. The further I escaped from the city to the suburbs of Minneapolis, the emptier the roads became until it was just myself and another car on the freeway. That seemed strange to me for a Friday night, but the strange part was the only other car on the road happened to be matching my speed. Probably just one of those stupid speed monitors, I said to myself. I couldn't stand those. He didn't want to go over 55 miles an hour, so no one could. Rolling my eyes, I laid on the gas pedal gently and sped past him, doing about 60, then 65. The car, a dark-colored antique automotive boat of some kind with tinted windows so I couldn't see inside, sped forward itself and matched my speed. The fuck? I muttered, touching the brake with my toe slightly, easing off the speed. No one was behind me, so I knew I wouldn't be causing any problems except for the jerk-off in the next car. I sped back up, doing 70. His engine revved and matched my speed. Shit. I noticed my turnoff on the green highway sign overhead, announcing I had a quarter of a mile. And since he was in the right lane, trying to block me like a wall, I was going to have to speed up super fast and cut the fucker off to make my exit. So I did, laying on the gas, shooting my little Toyota up to 80, her pathetic little four-cylinder engine whining as I asked for more power. The other car sped up too, but I had a small lead on him. I knew, though, with an engine like the one in his car, he'd catch up quickly. I whipped the steering wheel to the right, and the tires squealed as they cut into the right lane. The car, now behind me, had to slam on its brakes to avoid hitting me. Seeing the headlights in the rearview mirror grow smaller and smaller, I let out a sigh of relief. I scoffed. Whatever that was. I paused at the stop sign before the road that would lead into my quiet neighborhood when I noticed headlights in my mirror once again. There was no other lane for him to switch into, so instead he decided to ride my bumper. I gestured in the mirror rudely. What the fuck, dude? But he didn't back off. I swallowed nervously as I turned and headed into my quiet neighborhood. I was hoping maybe he was just impatient to get to his house, but he remained inches from my back bumper, following me along the way down the road. The streets were empty, lit only by the lamp posts overhead. I was so concerned watching the mystery douche in the mirror when I caught sight of a tall, broad-shouldered, built-like-a-brick shithouse man on the sidewalk outside of my house. I was so startled between him and the weird car behind me, I missed the driveway and nearly crashed into my neighbor's garbage cans. I squinted my eyes shut, waiting for the impact of the fucker behind me to slam into my rear, but it didn't happen. I dared to peek my eyes open. The shit brick house man stood there, menacingly glaring at the stalker car. The wheels squealed, and without warning, it sped down the street, leaving smoke and dust in its wake. I was paused, nearly in my neighbor's driveway, my tail end half in the street, as I caught the eye of the man on the sidewalk. I didn't want to make it apparent that I was staring, but I couldn't help it. He was good-looking. Very sexy, with brown hair that was combed back and cut short along the sides, brooding lips and a well-groomed, dark beard cut close to his skin. Almost like a shadow. I slowly put my car into reverse, eyeing him the entire way. He seemed to gaze past me until I was nearly upon him on the sidewalk. His brown eyes snapped upward and landed on my face. I swallowed. The look of his intense stare making me uncomfortable. And distracted, as I totally just drove past my driveway. Again. Shit! I exclaimed. Exasperated, I slammed on the brakes and threw the car into reverse, the mysterious hottie still staring at me as he stopped before the driveway. My heart beat rapidly, and my breath hitched. Just looking at him had been the most erotic experience of the past year at least, if not ever. He was beautiful, and just his mere gaze was fogging my brain to the point that I nearly plowed into Summer's Jeep as I finally managed to pull into the driveway. My brakes squealed as I pumped them to avoid my friend's car. "Damn, Avi," I heard a voice full of feminine attitude cry out. Summer Santiago, my best friend and roommate, came dashing out the front door. "Girl, what the hell are you doing?" She didn't wait for me to shut the engine off. She opened the driver's side door and stood there, hands on her hips, waiting for an explanation. "Fuck, I'm sorry, Sum. I just got distracted. I almost hit this guy that..." I checked out my rearview mirror for him, but he'd walked out of view. Craning my head over my shoulder, I tried to see him through the rear windshield, but there was no sign of him.
"What guy? Are you okay? How much did you have to drink? And if you did have too much to drink, what are you doing driving? And what the hell are you doing home so early?"
she demanded, tapping her foot on the concrete driveway. "Your guy was a total dud," I replied to her blandly. "And all I had was iced tea. I figured it would go wrong, so I needed to be coherent to drive." Summer rolled her brown eyes and motioned for me to follow her into our house. I turned the car off and started to follow her, but before I went into the house, I paused in the doorway, scanning the street for any sign of the mysterious, tall, dark, and handsome hottie I'd nearly hit a garbage can for. The only movement I saw on the road was a neighbor's white dog pacing in the yard across the street. The rest of the block was dark, except for the sporadic street lamp. I snorted. I must have been seeing things. No way anyone could run that fast unless he had super speed, or was hiding somewhere, like a pervert. Which would just be creepy as hell. I wrinkled my nose at the thought and shut the front door behind me. Even still, I couldn't get the image of his face out of my mind, and the intensity of his gaze.
"All right, Avi. Spill."
The house I shared with Summer was a duplex owned by my mother. She owned it outright and didn't make us pay rent, which was nice. She didn't have a traditional job. She was an artist. My grandparents died suddenly when I was a baby. She was left with enough money for the house and to put a little aside. The house was simple yet functional. The front door opened to a living room, a kitchen attached, and a slight hallway to a bathroom and two bedrooms for Summer and me each. Before Summer and I lived in the other side, my mother just used it for storage. She never rented out the other unit. Both of us liked our privacy, apparently. We had a basement, but it was mostly unfinished besides a laundry room and a fairly empty room with an egress window. I used that room for an office to do my work. Work consisted of an exceedingly boring job of data entry and medical transcription. I hated it, but thankful I had a job where I could avoid going into an office every day and not have to deal with people. I was not good with people. At all. Not only was I completely invisible to men, but even normal, everyday people seemed to look over me as well. I'd attempted many customer service jobs. People just seemed to look right past me. Or I never got credit when I did something right. Or even wrong. My presence just blended into the woodwork, generally. Although my loopy mother insisted it was because of the energy I put out. I was convinced people were going to ignore me, so I acted subdued and blended in before they could. She could have been right, but I couldn't bring myself to act differently. I also didn't like being around people because sometimes strange things happened around me. I knew I was being ignored because I genuinely couldn't be seen. There were times in awkward situations I'd involuntarily gone invisible. The first time it happened was in my 7th grade social studies class before a presentation I did not want to give, or the time Summer and I skipped PE class later that year because we'd gotten our periods, yes, at the same time. We hid in a bathroom and she'd gotten caught. I did not. And all the times in high school when teachers had forgotten I existed, and all the times Summer would urge me to tell my various crushes that I liked them, only to have them later say, "Who is Ava? I don't remember her." This weird quirk of mine somehow bled into all parts of life. I missed out on dances because the boys didn't notice me, no matter how hard Summer tried to fix me up. At my first jobs, I'd be there on paper and get paid, but no one would really notice my contributions. I always wondered if perhaps it was just me, or if they somehow really didn't notice me. Or they were just assholes and I was a social invalid. There was that possibility, too, and my magic was fake. I'd never caught myself disappearing in a mirror, and no one had ever caught me doing it. I told Summer about it, and she swore in that 7th grade social studies class she saw something weird, but never could elaborate other than that. She was the only person I ever told about it, and never would attempt telling anyone else. What would I say? I'd probably just get told I was just bad with people, which wasn't untrue. I especially wouldn't tell my mother about my strange abilities. She'd once been a practicing pagan in a coven. To help my anxiety as a child, she'd splash me with various oils, stick rocks on me, and recite some annoying poetry to me she called spells. If I told her about it, she'd probably do it again, claiming I was plagued with some sort of nasty negative energy. And nope, nope, nope. I definitely did not want to give her the opportunity to torture me like that again. Without Summer, my longtime friend, I felt out of place always. Unlike me, Summer was great with people. She was a cosmetologist. She did hair and makeup, and she was quite good, with the beginnings of an impressive clientele list. She was the extrovert to my introvert, the beauty to my beast. Okay, I wasn't unfortunate-looking, but next to her exotic Latin heritage, I was pretty sure I paled in comparison. Quite literally. My friend fetched a beer from the fridge and set it down at the dark wooden kitchen table. She pulled out one of the mismatched chairs, urging me to sit. I sighed and did as she requested. She grabbed her own beer from the fridge and sat across from me.
"Spill."
I took a long drink, shrugging. "There isn't much to tell, Sum. I met him at the bar, we sat down and ordered drinks and dinner. He proceeded to spend the next 30 minutes on his phone, texting, or whatever the fuck it is losers do. He called me Eve, and didn't even notice when I left." Summer, in mid-chug, slammed the brown bottle down on the table.
"Fuck. This is the last time I trust a straight guy to recommend a blind date."
I chuckled. "It's not his fault, Sum. I'm just invisible to men. It doesn't matter what I do. They don't like me. They don't notice me, period." She laughed shortly.
"I don't get it. You're beautiful. You're nice. What the hell is their problem? I don't get straight men, seriously. Did you show off your boobs? Flirt a little?"
I poured my tits out on the table. They were out there for anyone to see, and Jimbo didn't even glance. Summer grumbled.
"Shit. You offered up your tits on a plate, and he still ignored you."
I giggled at the thought. Right there on my salad. Summer burst out laughing.
"Tits salad. I could get behind that," she said with a wink.
"Sure. Add some croutons, some dressing," I suggested, laughing at the image of my boobs slathered with dressing and salad toppings. Then I recoiled, thinking about how to fish out cheese and croutons from my bra. How awkward would that be?
"Oh, stop tempting me," she chuckled.
Summer was gay, but she'd never been interested in me. I'd known her since kindergarten, and she was more like a sister than anything. She was a very beautiful, statuesque, intelligent, and witty sister that, If I hadn't known her forever, I probably couldn't associate with her because her supermodel appearance would make me jealous. She was intimidating with her tall, good looks and sharp attitude. She was a half-Hispanic version of Ashley Graham, complete with curves and a shapely butt for miles. She had sun-kissed skin, warm brown eyes, and wavy brown hair that grazed her shoulders. I was completely glad I didn't have to compete with her for men, because there would be no competition. Summer would win every time. Men still hit on her, but of course, she wasn't interested. I had slightly wavy, light blonde hair, blue eyes, and very pale skin. I was on the shorter side, and Summer never let me forget it, good-naturedly always calling me short shit. I had curves, too. Wide hips, curvy thighs, butt, and big boobs. I wasn't fat, but no one would ever accuse me of being thin. Summer called me voluptuous. I'd go with that instead of, she really likes macaroni and cheese. I did weight train, though, just hand weights and lots of squats for sculpting and the occasional gym venture, and it did help keep my curves from becoming total lumps. Honestly, I was okay with my curves. I just wished someone else wanted to enjoy them once in a while. Summer was always made up beautifully with perfect hair and makeup. She loved to experiment on me with hair and makeup looks. Currently, my hair was streaked with strands of lavender and sky blue and tousled with perfect beach waves, which almost grazed my waist in length. She styled it, kept it healthy, but refused to cut it more than trims because, as she said, it was so pretty. Normally, I would just pile it on top of my head in a heavy bun and not bother with makeup. I could do makeup, though, because Summer was a great teacher. I just didn't bother with it most of the time since I didn't go out often and no one here would care how I looked. Tonight, before I went out on my pointless date, she went all out. She gave me a bright pink lip, a smoky eye with winged liner, and perfect contouring. Summer sighed audibly.
It's a shame to waste such good makeup on a Friday night just sitting here at home.
She frowned. Reaching over the table, she patted my hand and grinned.
Come on, Avi. We're going out. Just try not to do your invisibility thing again.
I groaned. Oh, come on. I don't try to do it. You've never even seen me do it. And I tried to be social some. It didn't work.
I've no proof you haven't done it either, she said with a wink.
Suddenly, Summer leapt out of her chair looking gleeful, like she'd just had the best idea ever. And when she looked like that, I knew I was going to hate it. I clenched my mouth shut, fearing the worst.
Better yet, we're going dancing.
I let out a little scream of terror. Dancing? Like to a club? Where drunk college kids that are half-naked rub up and grind on each other on a nasty dance floor? Are you nuts?
Yes.
She grabbed my hands and pulled me out of my seat to a standing position. More like a pouting position as my shoulder slumped, face fell, and lower lip puffed out like a 2-year-old.
You're always complaining you feel like you're invisible. Well, now everyone will be forced to look at you when you're shaking your ass at them.
I snorted, rolling my eyes. Oh yeah, because my ass will get so much attention when my tit salad failed to. She didn't hear me. She was off and running to her bedroom to get herself ready.
Freshen up. We're going out.
I groaned, rubbing my hand over my forehead, careful not to disturb Summer's perfect makeup job. Well, if I'm going out, I might as well look good. Chapter 2 Seriously, what are we doing here? I wrinkled my nose as Summer and I entered the Stargazer nightclub. The Stargazer was a former warehouse/office and had a very industrial look, complete with plate glass windows, overhead piping, and exposed steel beams. Everything was painted black and doused with various murals in neon to catch the black light from the wall sconces and neon laser lights that swooped over the walls and floor. Being a Friday night, the place was crawling with sweaty bodies grinding and shaking against each other, their drinks in clear plastic solo cups held in the air as they swayed to the beat. The music was loud, of course, and thrummed through the building loudly, some sort of repetitive shoe-in-the-dryer music that I found inane, but some called dance. And we won't discuss the smell. A mix of stale beer, perspiration, and body odor. I wished I would have brought a can of Glade so I could spray the air to rid myself of the stench. And, of course, it didn't appear that anyone over 21 was in attendance.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?